Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you. Going to talk some college basketball. Nevada in the Sweet 16. Of course, you'll be able to hear that game right here on KFBC Thursday evening, part of Westwood One Sports coverage of the Sweet 16. We'll have that for you right at 5 o'clock. We've got Chris Murray joining us. Reno Gazette Journal covers Nevada basketball. And Chris, like we were saying, a busy guy, man. But that's what happens when the team you cover continues to win and does it in the fashion like Nevada has. It's probably been some fun for you to cover this team right now.
Yeah, so the team was actually in Nashville for its first two games. Now they're in Atlanta. So it's about a 4.5-hour bus drive, and I was lucky enough to get on the bus, the actual team bus. And literally Coach Musselman was on the phone doing interviews the entire time, either radio or print. And they've probably turned down more than they've actually accepted just because, you know, he's one human. He can only talk to so many people. And, you know, he's kind of got a big game to prepare for. But, yeah, I mean, it's Nevada's only been in the Sweet 16 one time before this. That was 2004, and it's kind of – you know, it's different now because of social media and Twitter and Facebook. And I think people are, you know, they can experience it in different ways and they get way more insight into the team. And, you know, I haven't been back home since the before the first game. But, I know just from talking to people back there that the community really has, you know, thoroughly enjoyed this. And, you know, they're taking it in for, you know, all that it's worth just because they know how rare, you know, it is to be able to be one of the 16 teams out of 351 left in the nation still playing for a national title.
Well, it's kind of cool here. We're a CBS Sports affiliate, and we have the Jim Rome Show, and Eric Musselman has been on the Jim Rome Show the last 2 weeks getting that jungle karma in there. So it's been kind of nice to get that Mountain West feel nationally on the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah, and I mean, those guys have been friends for a long, long time. You actually think about when Nevada hired Musselman, they kind of more or less announced it on the Jim Rome Show. Uh-huh. Nobody, you know, at Nevada would confirm or deny until he went on that show and they, you know, basically said, yeah, it's my job now. And, you know, we just need the Board of Regents to approve. But I think Musselman, you know, having all of those ties to the pros and being an NBA coach, two different organizations has probably helped Nevada being able to, you know, capitalize off of this situation and get as much publicity as possible. And, you know, Coach Musselman's a guy who understands the media. He worked in the business for a couple of years between jobs before he, you know, really got into the college world. And then his wife was a sportscaster on ESPN and Fox Sports and NFL Network and all that kind of stuff. So they very much understand the importance of, you know, getting your brand and your name out there because, you know, if Nevada loses on Thursday, nobody's going to want to talk to them from the national media. So you better take advantage of this opportunity. And, you know, their daughter, 8-year-old Mariah Musselman, has actually maybe become a bigger star than either the mom or the dad. I mean, she's already been booked for the Final Four, you know, whether the team makes it or not, to go down to the studio and do some hits. And she's interviewing Sister Jean, Loyola's 98-year-old chaplain, and that's going to air. So, you know, she actually has some responsibilities. The charter comes out later tonight, and we'll land in Atlanta, and she's basically booked from that point forward. So, you know, it's got to be cool to be able to go through that as a family. I mean, you think of the interview after Nevada beat Cincinnati and Musselman's two sons are hanging on him as he's doing the, you know, post-game interview and then Mariah comes in. And I mean, those are like, you know, DVR things that you're going to want to save for the rest of your life because experiences like this don't happen very often. I mean, Eric Musselman's been a basketball coach since 23 years old. He's 53 years old now. And these are the, you know, he just said today, the two most memorable games he's ever coached. So, you know, I don't think he's taken it for granted, you know, what he's been able to experience over the last, you know, 72 hours or so.
Sister Jean versus Mariah Musselman right now. Who's got the bigger fan base following? I'd say the edge has to go to Sister Jean because it's been made maybe a little bit more of a story nationally than Musselman's daughter. Maybe. I don't know. Can you
corroborate
that?
No, yeah, I agree with you. I'm on your bandwagon there. I think that she does have the edge. I was actually going to do like a tail of the tape between the two, and I'm like, that might be a little stupid. But yeah, there's certainly two of the non-player storylines that have come out of it. I do think it's funny, though, because I did this story in January on Nevada has a 100-year-old super fan. Now, she's not a chaplain or anything like that, but she's a season ticket holder who hasn't missed a game for like a decade. When I saw Sister Jean the first time, I'm like, 98? That's nice, but that's not 100. Like, you get to 100, maybe you should get a little bit more pub. So, yeah, I mean, that just tells you kind of like how special these things are. Like, you have a 98-year-old fan who's probably never got to experience, you know, her team going this far, you know, for Nevada, 100-year-old fans. So, you know, these are kind of, for some teams like Nevada and the Loyola and, you know, potentially like a Wyoming, these are kind of once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunities. You know, these schools aren't like Duke and Michigan State and, you know, Kentucky and North Carolina who expect to get to this level. So, you know, I think that's why it's been maybe a little bit more special for a team like Nevada. I mean, their, you know, code to get into their locker room is 16-16 because they wanted to get to the Sweet 16. But now that they're actually here, and you look at how this South region bracket shapes up, I mean, the first time in the history of the tournament that none of the top four seeds in one region got to the Sweet 16. I mean, this thing is open to where they could legitimately make the Final Four. That's not too outlandish of a goal at this stage.
That's what I was going to say. Kentucky's probably the odds-on favorite to get there. Not probably. They are the odds-on favorite to get there, but it's not like this is an unbeatable Kentucky team. And I know first things first, Loyola Chicago's first on the slate, but you're right, and that's what we talked about yesterday. This team could do something kind of special that, you know, a Mount West team hadn't been able to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, ridiculous to think that they would be in the Final Four. I think if you actually lined up the games, the toughest game to get to the Final Four for Nevada was played on Sunday, and they won that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cincinnati's ranked sixth in the nation. They were 30-4. They were a 9-10 point favorite. You know, if Nevada gets to Kentucky, Kentucky's a super program with great players and tremendous length. And, well, you know, there'll be some issues playing that game. But, you know, it's a situation where if Nevada goes and plays two good games the next, you know, two out of three nights, that, you know, they're going to be in the Final Four. So, you know, they've kind of put themselves in a situation. Now they have to come and take, advantage of the fortune they've been given. Because if you look at their sweet, so this was their fourth game. They've played a Sweet 16 opponent, or a round of 32, game to get into the Sweet 16. You know, all four of those games were against teams ranked sixth in the nation or better at the time. So they didn't have any easy ends to get to the Sweet 16 prior. This isn't an easy end. Loyola is still a good game, a good team, but this is definitely a situation where things have been set up for them to, you know, make a run, and now they have to go and, you know, take advantage of that.
How much money do these wins mean for individual schools in the Mountain West? Look, I know they're on like a credit system, and it's years down the line before you really get to see that. But what are we talking about monetarily for individual schools in the conference?
So, I mean, it's huge. So, I mean, every tournament unit is $270,000, and you get a tournament unit rolled over for 6 years. So whatever 270,000 times six is, I mean, that's got to be somewhere like around $1.6 million or so. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's split 11 ways, so it's not like any individual team is making a ton of money off of it. But I think it was important specifically that somebody from the Mountain West made a run this year, because you look back at 2012, now those are the tournament units that are going to be falling off the ledger this cycle. The Mountain West had five units that year. And then you look at 2013, the Mountain West had seven units that season. So you're talking about 12 units that are falling off the ledger in the next 2 years. And there have been a lot of one and done in recent years. The Mountain West hadn't won a tournament game since 2015. So they really needed somebody to go and replenish some of those units that they're going to lose. And at very minimum, they're going to get four units out of this season, which is, you know, roughly $1.05 million from, you know, San Diego State's one game and Nevada's three games. So, Nevada is you know, replenishing those units. And obviously the Mountain West has, you know, made no secrets about the fact that they want to get Gonzaga into their conference. One of the ways you do that is by, you know, creating more units from other schools. So Gonzaga looks at it and says, we're not going to be the one creating all of the money here. We're actually going to be sharing some money, you know, made from other people. So, Gonzaga is not going to decide whether it wants to go into the Mountain West or not solely based on Nevada making the rest of the Sweet 16, but it certainly can't hurt, to show some evidence that this is a, you know, a conference that has other teams that are capable of making runs and creating more revenue for everybody in the pot. So, I think it's been great for the Mountain West at large. And I know, you know, there aren't a ton of, you know, Eric Musselman can rub some other coaches or fans in the Mountain West the wrong way. But I think, you know, people are starting to maybe appreciate and root for the Wolfpack just based on, you know, what a run like this can do for the conference at large.
I thought it was funny you put out that Eric Musselman kind of joked about getting some messages from people who didn't even know he was probably still alive. I thought that was kind of funny today. He is, in fact, alive. But, you know, practicing at Georgia Tech today, right? The team that beat Nevada, correct, in the Sweet 16 back in 2004, their only other appearance. Kind of ironic that they'll be they got to practice there. But that was a member of the WAC. Was Nick Fizikas a part of that team, or is that before him?
Yeah, so that was Nick's freshman season. Okay. They made him a starter about halfway through the year, and that's when Nevada really took off. So Nevada had three NBA players on that team: Nick Fizikas, Kirk Snyder, and Kevin Pinkney, all made it to the NBA. Actually, prior to this year, every team that Nevada had that won at least one NCAA tournament game, there were three of those teams, each of those teams had at least three NBA players on the roster. I don't know that this team has three NBA players on the roster, but, you know, certainly if they beat Loyola on Thursday, they'll go down as the greatest team in Wolfpack history, so that's kind of on the line for them. Another kind of unique factor about that 2004 season, so you're right, Nevada was, I think, up 7 at halftime against Georgia Tech and really dominated for good stretches of those games before losing by 5. Georgia Tech went on to go into the national title game where they lost. I actually saw the runner-up trophy in their trophy case, which right next to where Nevada was practicing. But the Final Four that year was held in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. The Final Four this year is being held at San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. And I don't know that, you know, these Wolfpack players, I guess that was, what, 13 years ago? So these guys were like 5, 6, 7 years old. They probably don't have any memory of any of this stuff. The only guy on either the team or the roster or support staff who actually was a part of that team was the strength and conditioning coach, Matt Eck. So, you know, maybe he has some kind of fond memories of that run and things like that. But it does seem like there's a lot of kind of unique things lining up to where maybe Nevada can exercise some of the demons from, you know, missing that opportunity in 2004 and maybe capitalize this time.
I didn't even know they made a runner-up trophy. What does that look like? Is it just a smaller version of the championship trophy?
I think it actually looks exactly like the championship trophy, except it just says second place.
Really?
And they actually have two there. So they have one that says runner-up, and I think the other one says semifinalist. So maybe they actually lost in the round of four in the Final Four and didn't make it to the title game. But, yeah, Georgia Tech had made it to the Final Four twice before. One of them was at Nevada's expense. And I know that game really upset a lot of Wolfpack fans for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is whoever won that Nevada-Georgia Tech game was playing Kansas in the next round, and Nevada had beaten Kansas at Lawler Event Center by 21 points in a game that was far more lopsided than that. They really pounded the Jayhawks. So they kind of felt like, you know, you get past Georgia Tech, you've already done it against Kansas once. Obviously, it's not that easy, but they were already kind of dreaming of, you know, Final Four when Nevada had a pretty sizable lead at halftime of that game against the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, I think the other Final Four for Georgia Tech was the Kenny Anderson, Brian Shaw, Dennis Scott, that team back in the late 80s, early 90s, something like that. That was a good team.
Yeah, and I was looking at, because they have a picture right next to the trophy of both of them. I mean, you look at that 2004 team, and you have Jarrett Jack there,
right.
But there really weren't a ton of NBA players. There was Luke Censher. I think B.J. Elder was on the team. I don't even know if he made it to the NBA. But, I mean, you kind of look at it and you think, okay, you know, they made it to a title game with not a ton of, like, stellar pros. And Nevada may have a pro here or there. Maybe the Martin twins or Jordan Caroline or Kendall Stevens, because of how good of a shooter he is and his length, make it. But there's certainly no lottery picks or, like, slam dunk first-round picks on this team. So, I mean, you catch lightning in the bottle, you get some fortune, which they got in their first two games. You know, you never know what can happen, because really the South bracket has been torn apart pretty significantly. But, you know, even across the landscape, a lot of top seeds have gone out. So you never know what can happen if you know, they could be playing in a title game, because the whole left side of the bracket has been decimated pretty heavily.
Chris Murray, Reno Gazette Journal. Check out his work. Nevada takes on Loyola of Chicago Thursday evening, and you can hear it here as part of Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament beginning at 5 o'clock. Chris, thank you so much, and maybe we'll talk to you next week. Who knows? Thanks, man.
Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for having me.